this is cool. I was unaware of this, but Hoffman is now in the stream. I'm guessing I still have to pull him up on VX, so I'm going to do that. What up, Hoff? How you doing, buddy?
What's up? Yeah, no, this is a wacky bit because we were going to do a Comrex, but I guess we got some tech stuff going on. So I'm going to be in the stream for people watching on YouTube, but I still sound like I'm on the phone.
Cool. You were always one step ahead of the tech. Whatever it is, ass off. Dude, so I was listening to your show driving home yesterday, and you had a really good point about people screaming about the in-division trade because the timelines for these teams are very different. Do you mind? I just thought it was smart, and I like smart commentary. Craig Hoffman from the Craig Hoffman Show joining us right now on The Fan. You can follow him at Craig Hoffman and listen to his program at 4 o'clock, I think.
Yes, that's okay. Correct. Four o'clock.
There you go.
Yeah, you leave and then time becomes a vacuum, but you do listen to the show and text Anthony and I, which I very much appreciate. No, so the point is basically this. If you are looking at if you're looking at the timeline of when the Commanders want to compete, we realistically think it's going to be 2 to 3 years from now. Like, even if Jaden goes out and has a Stroud-esque year, okay, next year you make a bunch of moves and you do what they did with Diggs and you try to bring people in, and next year you're trying to compete. Well, John Dotson's got 2 years left on his contract, and they've already paid Devontae Smith. They've already paid A.J. Brown. And so the chances that 3 years from now, when more likely you'll be competitive in year three of Jaden Daniels, that Jahan Dotson's still an Eagle, like, you're not even really competing with them. And I think to even add on to that, JP, I didn't talk about this as much yesterday, but it's something I'm definitely going to bring up today. And so your listeners and you get a preview of this first. Dan Quinn's been competing against Jahan Dotson for 2 years when he was the D coordinator in Dallas. And he's watched Mike Sander still play against him every single day. You think if they were that scared, with all due respect to Jahan, who I think will be better in Philadelphia, he suits a little bit more of what they do than what they were asking him to do here. But if they were that scared of Jahan Dotson, do you think they would have traded him in division? Like, no, he's not going to be the player that I think we hoped he became. They realize that. They don't have the emotional attachment to him. And so they did what they thought was best for the football team. And by the way, that thing happens to be just fine with the timeline for when they want to compete.
Well, and there's like this theory that they took less to send him to Philly. I am confident. I can guarantee you. Adam Peters called a whole bunch of teams. He didn't just call Howie. Be like, Howie, man, do I have a deal for you? What's it going to take for me to get you in a car today? Like, the market is the market. And I think folks are reluctant to understand that or embrace it. And I get that maybe Jahan balls out this year. And if you want to trade him, there's more value at the deadline. Or he balls out this year and you just want to keep him. But it's entirely possible the negative trajectory continues. And then there's even less value down the stretch or even less value next offseason. It's just crazy to me that we all hammer Rivera for the draft picks and, frankly, the player evaluations throughout his tenure. And now that they've traded away Dotson, it's like, hell no, that guy was a first rounder. What are you thinking? You know what I mean?
Right. No, 100%. Those two thoughts cannot coexist in perfect harmony in a sane thought train. Like, this is not that you can't be like, that guy, I can't believe Rivera sucks because he picked Jahan Dotson in the first round. How dare you trade first round pick Jahan Dotson for a third rounder because you gave up a fifth. And to your original point, JP, like, if all other things were equal, if there were thirds, you know, the same exact deal, third and 2/7 for a fifth and Dotson on the table from an AFC West team and an NFC East team, you trade into the AFC West. You don't take the risk that the downward
trajectory
that
he's been
on.
They would have loved to trade him to Denver or the Chargers.
Especially a team that's probably going to be worse than Philly. Like, if Philly's good this year, this pick is going to be lower in the third round. Although they did just pay, you know, take Luke McCaffrey at the bottom of the third round, right, who they hope is going to replace Jahan Dotson. So that's probably worth pointing out as well. But yeah, if literally all other things are equal, then you absolutely try to trade him somewhere else. But the chances that everything else was equal were not very good. The chances that they were getting this deal from someone else were not good. This is a kind of player that Philly takes a swing on, and sometimes they're right. They've had some success. I mean, the ultimate success with a distressed asset, if you will, is A.J. Brown. He was going the wrong way in Tennessee, turned around. He's been awesome all pro level in Philadelphia. But there's also been other guys that they've taken swings on that it hasn't worked. But I think that you have to keep your eyes on your own paper. Like I talked to, I don't know if you heard me mention this on the show yesterday, JP, but I talked to Will Dawkins about this, about the Porzingis trade. And basically I was like, are you like, do you hear the yells of like, oh, you handed Boston a title? And he goes, good. I want to be a good trade partner because I want good return for us. Like we have a long vision for what we're trying to do here. And Adam Peters, although the vision is not as long in the football game as it is in the basketball arena, but they have a long vision for what they want to do. And they are concerned with getting the best routine for, or the best return for them that works for what they are trying to build. And what it does for the other side is only really relevant if you're ready to compete with them right now. And they just like, there's the 53 is going to get named what, Monday, Tuesday, whatever it is.
Tuesday, yeah.
30 new names on it. 30. They know their roster needed an overhaul. They're not worried about competing on the level that Philly is worried about competing at right now.
Right. And I think people just get so excited and geeked up for one, a new season, but then you add Jaden and then how Jaden has looked. And it's like, yo, F that. We're playing to win right now. And Peters, yo, and the coaching staff, if you ask Bobby Johnson or Ken Norton, hell yeah, they're playing to win right now. Coaches have to. A good front office is playing to win week one in Tampa, but also in 2024, and to build a long-term playoff contender. Huff, you're going to be surprised by this, maybe, but there was something specifically I wanted to ask you about.
Okay.
And people will probably hang up. Don't hang up. I'm coming back to the phones in a minute. NWSL just got rid of their draft completely, right?
Yes.
And they're going to like a European style format?
Correct.
So
there's a couple of things, and some of them are kind of like the moral compass of the league. And I think it's a lot easier on on the most fundamental level. If you're going to draft Caleb Williams 1-1 overall in the NFL draft and his signing bonus is $25 million, it's a lot more moral to treat that person like a commodity. If you want to trade them, okay, well, you know, he's making $25 million. The NWSL minimum salary has been, you know, 10 years ago, it was $12,000. It's now in the 40s, I believe. Mm-hmm. And this new CBA that they've signed is going to rise it by 2030 to $80,000. Like imagine on whatever most people's listening salary is, if you could just be traded and uprooted. And by the way, when you graduated school, you didn't have a choice where you got to move and start your life. You just got assigned. Mm. Like there's that element.
Yeah.
There's also the fact that like they're competing in a global marketplace. Like it's not the NFL that if you want to play professional football at the highest level, the NFL is it.
Right.
If you are, and I'll use a name that people have hopefully heard of, Katarina Macario, a U.S. women's national team player. She's one of the, when healthy, one of the 10 best players in the world, perhaps. And a couple of years ago, she had a $500,000 a year offer from Chelsea, or she could have signed, like stayed in the U.S. and been drafted one overall by, I think, like Louisville and made 70K.
Go to London.
She chose Chelsea.
Yeah.
Good. She's playing in England, having a blast, making $500,000 a year. And so if you're going to lose players, it becomes a competitive balance issue of if you want to be the best league in the world, you better have a way to keep players. And so those are the big factors. But I do think it's a fun discussion of like, what would it look like in the NFL and the NBA? Because I do think that like the fact that we just assign people where they go to work is kind of nuts. And then we just treat them as commodities and trade them around. And, you know, then again, we're as guilty as anything because in our business, that's like what we talk about.
Well, dude, and you and I in the radio business are certainly just treated as commodities. So who the hell knows? I got to run. I am making my Washington Spirit debut this weekend. Very excited to come to the game on Sunday, bringing my daughters. Thank you, Huff. Everybody tune in 4:00.
Appreciate it.
All right, Craig Hoffman, give him a follow on Twitter @CraigHoffman.